Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
What is all this?
It's a research lab, agricultural engineering. Dean Barry founded Beta Vegetech 5 years ago.
So what exactly do you do?
We're saving the world.
Oh, good for you. I was getting a little worried about the world. Is that a square tomato?
Yes, it is. It's a pet project of Dean's. The square shape means that farmers can pack 35% more tomatoes per carton. It's cheaper, more efficient.
So that means every slice is exactly the same size?
How does it taste?
Who cares? It's a square tomato. You're doing the Lord's work.
Literally.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a punch key's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes, and true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. If Mike says he's growing a pear, he's literally growing a pear. What did you think he meant? Get your minds out of the irrigation ditch. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Right.
Be afraid. Be very afraid. I'm being told that the studio has a mind of its own today. Lady B is filling in for Dennis. How you doing, Lady B?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay. She's sitting across the glass there in the producer's studio, and it's good to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
What's going on? What do I need? What's going to happen? Is this all going to crash and burn at some point?
I don't know. It has a mind of its own.
Oh, good. This is good. Yeah, but it's so unusual for that to happen in this studio.
Know.
Okay. And my guest today, and I'm going to tell you folks who are listening right now at the top of the show, get your gardening questions out. 773-763-9278 or tweet us. Or right on Facebook, go to the Mike Novak Show. Tell your friends to like the Mike Novak Show. See, already, Lady B, Mikey, are you listening? Mike Sanders, I just got tweeted. Who sent this? Let's see. I don't know who this is. DM Cannon 99. Whoever that is. WCPT is running two simultaneous feeds for the online show. Having a hard time listening to your show. So Mikey's going to address that. So you got it? Okay. Okay. So Mikey's on it. He's going to fix that right now. So if you're getting two feeds, he's going to switch it. So we're getting three at the same time. Okay, well, we'll see what else happens. And of course, I have in my as I was in the middle of saying before I was so rudely interrupted by a tweet. No, before I was so rudely interrupted by two simultaneous feeds on the stream. 773-763-9278 if you got gardening questions. If you got questions about the city festivals, because I don't. Lori Lewis is in studio with me today, and Lori, I don't think you even saw the headline on my website, and the headline is Taste of Chicago Abdicates, Sheffield Garden Walk now officially summer's best festival. You like the headline?
Truer words were never spoken, Mike.
It's coming from the guy who puts the Sheffield Garden Walk and Festival together every year and has for the last 114 years.
This is our 44th year. I don't know of too many things in the city of Chicago that last that long.
That's true. Certainly, well, one of them was the Gardening Awards, the Mayor's Gardening Awards, and we will talk about that during the show today because he and I, you got to understand, Lori came in here from his other radio engagement. He went at Gargantua Radio down the dial and had a little chat there and came in here kind of fired up about the Gardeners Awards, and that's kind of a tease for you. If you're listening to the show, we're going to talk about that later this morning, and we're going to get Lori to calm down a little bit, and he will in here because we'll be freezing by the end of 2 hours. There's your hands will be numb. I forgot, and I well here's the problem. It gets, I know that when I walk out of here at like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, it's going to be 93 outside, so I wear shorts in here. But what happens is then your legs break off. They're so cold. They just shatter. If you bump into a table, they just shatter. Right, Lady
right.
B?
Yes.
That's what happens here. So 773-763-9278 if you got a gardening question. And I love it. Okay, you'll appreciate this, Lori. Sarah Batka. Who is now the, I forget what her official position is with the Master Gardeners, but she's
the coordinator.
Coordinator of Master Gardeners, and I can't think of somebody who deserves it better. If you're a Cook County Master Gardener, you get notices from Sarah Batka every week that tell you how you can volunteer. And that's the amazing thing about Master Gardeners. They look at it and they go, okay, all right. I'll do some volunteering here. Yeah, I'll throw some hours in there. And all kinds of things go on. And so Sarah's listening, and she tweets, Mike Now, which is my handle on Twitter, Mike Now and Chicago Gardeners, my favorite time of week. That is just so sweet. We appreciate that. We're going to try to live up to it, Sarah. Great, we got another tweet. You know, Twitter and radio are a great combination. I really like it. You can just whip through these things really fast. But DM Cannon 99. I don't know if Mr. Sanders is there, but he tweets, it's fixed. Thanks. So,
yay.
Yeah, see, here's the problem with Mike Sanders. When he's on the air, he can't go fix the stuff himself.
No.
When he gets off the air, he can fix it for me. Because it's all about me, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for saying that, Lady B. I appreciate that. 773-763-9278. We're going to just talk gardening this morning. We're going to talk a little politics, too, talk a little bit of environment, but it's all in the framework of the Sheffield Garden Walk and the Dearborn Garden Walk, which is today. Sheffield is next week. Dearborn is today. We actually have another garden event today, which is the Garden Conservancy's Open Days program. There's five gardens up Lake Forest Way that you can get in for $5 that you usually can't get into because they're private. But this is a good day to do that. Then there's a tour in a couple of weeks on the 28th, and this tour really stinks. And I'm going to tell you why later on. But it has something to do with doing a tour on the southeast side of Chicago. And no, I'm not being issuing a pejorative there. No, this is what they tell me. This is Tom Shepard from the Southeast Environmental Task Force. They've got their off-the-beaten-path eco-tour coming up in a couple of weeks, and we'll talk about that. So all of that today on the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Lori, welcome.
Thank you, Mike, for having me on the show again.
Always great to have you here. I've got Lori's CD from the Sheffield Garden Walk and Festival, 44th annual. And, of course, one of the great things about what you guys do, and it's next Saturday and Sunday, is the music. You always have a great, great lineup of music, and it's no exception this year. In fact, Heather Fry made me promise to get backstage passes for her, and you're going to come through for me, right?
Absolutely.
Because she will never speak to me again if she doesn't get backstage passes to see Cowboy Mouth on Sunday, which is one of her favorite bands. Gomez is here on Saturday. I'm impressed. How do you guys do that?
Well, Mike, our festival has a reputation, and fortunately, after 44 years, it really has gotten better and better. And when you have bands, because they're national, when you have bands that look in the Midwest and look for summer festivals, the Sheffield Garden Walking Festival is on their radar, and they contact us in many cases. And, of course, Cowboy Mouth, I think this is the fifth or sixth time they've been with us, and every year they cannot wait to come back, because they absolutely love the crowd. They have a tremendous following in Chicago. But we have an environment. We're a true neighborhood festival in an historic neighborhood, the Sheffield neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's within part of the DePaul University campus. And the demographics for our festival are just exactly what these music groups are looking for.
You know, I said earlier, Taste of Chicago ain't what it used to be. I think you guys have now, you've got the crown. You're the best, officially the best summer festival in Chicago. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on in Chicago. In fact, even on the day of yours, you've got competition not too far away. But in the summer, everybody wants to do things on Saturday and Sunday. But really, it's hard to think of a festival that is more fun than the Sheffield Garden Walk.
You know, what comes to mind is, yes, there are many other festivals, and there are a lot of good music groups out there at these various festivals. But I think what separates our festival from others are the additional things we provide for everybody of all ages, all family groups. We have a tremendous kids' corner. It's a block-long kids' corner on Kenmore with rides, kids' activities, face painting, storytelling, and so forth. And that goes on both days from noon to 5:30. Of course, we have the gardens. We have over 80 gardens this year. But what people also don't realize is that a portion of the Sheffield neighborhood is an historic district. And we have guided architectural tours. And some of the buildings that have been built in this neighborhood since right after the Chicago fire, and in fact, there is one building that was built and survived the Chicago fire.
Where's that one?
That's over at on Seminary, the 2000 block of Seminary. It's a small home,
mm-hmm.
But it survived the fire, and people live in it today and so forth. And it was actually built in 1861.
Were the homes built before the Chicago fire there? Were they frame houses? Is that why they went up? Because a lot of the buildings now in that district are brick. So I think that's a result of the Chicago fire, isn't it?
That is totally correct. And many of the historic homes in this neighborhood that we talk about on the tour were built in the 1880s. The McCormick row houses, for example, were built in the 1880s and are now all privately occupied by residents. But many of these residences and buildings were breweries during Prohibition, little speakeasies.
Really?
Yes.
How many speakeasies did you have in the neighborhood?
And another thing to be aware of is that there are various stories of spies living in some of these homes during World War II.
And, for which side?
I can't tell you that. You have to go on the tour.
Okay.
But so these are some very interesting things. And, of course, we have a lot of good food, something beyond hot dogs and hamburgers for people to enjoy. And so I think it's just walking the neighborhood, getting a feel for what city living is like and, you know, in intimate areas with, you know, great architectural buildings.
That's Lori Lewis. And what is your official position with the festival?
I am co-chairman.
You co-chairman. And you've been doing that for a while.
Yes, I have. I've actually been involved for 15 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And
Now, I know it consumes you. It sort of takes up. And by the way, we have a in just a second, I just want to let you know, John, hang on. He just called in. We have a garden question. We'll get rolling on that. John, I'm going to get to you in just a second. How much longer do you see yourself doing this? Because it consumes you, I'm sure, the whole year.
It's a full year planning process, but it involves I've lived in this neighborhood for over 20 years, and the primary purpose of the festival is to raise money for what we do in the neighborhoods, the Sheffield Neighborhood Association, giving money to the schools, doing beautification in the parks and other social service agencies. And it's a matter of having a certain level of passion that you want to help these organizations, and which, of course, help the neighborhood in which I live. And I enjoy it, and it gets tougher and tougher every year to put these festivals together. And there are a lot of hoops that you have to go through with the city.
And, oh, come on. It's just the city of Chicago.
It's sometimes people don't quite understand why these festivals exist and the financial risks that they incur in trying to do their primary purpose.
Well, we've talked about this before. There are a number of things that can make it really hard on you. A, rain. B, heat. C, cold. I mean, it's you almost need it just right.
It is a fine-tuning thing. And if I look over the last 10 years in terms of successful festivals, the most successful festival was in 2009, in the height of the recession.
Mm-hmm.
It was a high temperature both days, was 65 degrees. Yet more people showed up because it was too cool to go to the beach.
Yeah.
The Cubs were not in town.
Are they in town next week?
No, they're not.
Good.
And people said, well, we have nowhere else to go, so we'll go to a festival. And we also had great entertainment to offer that weekend. And the worst year ever was 2005, where we had the heat index both days in the hundreds.
Yeah. And right now, what are you seeing? I see that we get the hundreds or close to a Tuesday, and then the heat breaks. Is it coming back by the weekend?
It's supposed to, as of now anyway, be in the upper 80s.
That sounds perfect.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you got to worry about the rain.
Yeah. Not this year.
Well, you know what?
Actually, there was rain yesterday, and I saw a report about Taste of Chicago that got hit twice by rain showers, and you think, oh, great, the year of the drought here, and they open Taste of Chicago, and on the Saturday, it gets two rain showers. Sometimes you just can't win, can you?
No, it's an incredible gamble that we take, and you wonder why we do it, but remember, our mission, the best way to raise money, a large sum of money, if successful, is a festival.
All right. And you got to understand, Lori not only runs a festival, he's a former Chicago Gardener of the Year. He is a master gardener. And he does a lot of the containers you see in the Sheffield area, if around the businesses and in the parks. A lot of that's his work. And he knows what he's doing. He's really, really good. So that's why he's here this morning, not just to promote the Sheffield Garden Walk and Festival, but to answer gardening questions. And to that regard, let us go to the phones and bring in John. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hello, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
What's up?
Listen, I have gardening stuff. This year has been brutal for all the vegetables and stuff. Yet last year was good, but bad for tomatoes.
Yeah, bad for tomato last year, good for tomatoes this year. If you've kept them watered.
Yes, I kept them watered.
Uh-huh.
My Swiss chard, but dead. I had to pull them out. I have raised planters and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it's just too much work. When do you think I should do the vegetables again?
Well, it depends what you want to do. You know, if you're talking for the fall, cool season, you know, you get towards the end of July, we're getting to the point where you can seed, put some seeds out and, you know, get them to germinate. And as we get through the month of August and in September, things start to cool off, then they will do well in your garden. I mean, you sort of
bet. I already started a new batch in the basement, so I was so depressed. But the peppers are going great, you know. So last year, the peppers didn't do well.
Well, I got to tell you, in our community garden, where I'm doing most of my vegetable gardening this year, our tomatoes are rocking. They're just... They're the best looking tomatoes I think I've ever seen, and I think it's because we've been really, really good about watering them from the base.
Yes, and I have irrigation systems, so.
And with the heat, it seems to me it has kept. It was hot and dry, and I think, and Lori, maybe you can chime in on this. I think it kept away a lot of the diseases.
Oh, the bugs, yeah.
And the bugs as well.
There's no question the bug population or the pest population is down because of the lack of rain and the heat.
But the funny thing is, Lori, my dogwood had rust on it and stuff earlier on, and it didn't do last year. It did this year.
Well, that's because we had that really warm March, and then we had a cool, wet April.
Oh, yeah.
And early in the season, we were seeing a lot of diseases. We were seeing rust. We were seeing black spot. We were seeing anthracnose. We were seeing all kinds of stuff.
Well, yeah, my roses were just devastated, and I had to cut them all back.
Which was exactly the right thing to do, John. You know, cutting them back. A lot of people cut their roses back at the end of May.
Right.
Beginning of June, because they just look terrible. And probably now, I'm thinking your roses look pretty good right now.
Oh, they're coming back up. You know, just give them a chance, I guess. Oh, I have a few topics, too. Lori had the thing about the historical neighborhood. My house was built in 1876 in the Ravenswood area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kitty corner from the Abbott Lab house. So we're in the Ravenswood area. We had a party yesterday, and everybody's getting together. They came to my garden. I have most of the properties here have 50-foot frontage.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
John, you didn't invite me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Next time we'll get
okay, next time. You can send me an invitation.
And another thing, too, coyotes. Do you believe it?
What?
We have coyotes.
Oh, I believe that. You know, I got to tell you something. I had the guy on the show earlier in the year who was talking about coyotes, and he was on for, I don't know, 20 minutes. I got more responses to that segment than just about anything I've done all year long. People are fascinated by coyotes, so I want to bring him back and talk more about that. Are they causing problems in your yard?
No, I would rather have them because I got rabbits.
Well, there you go.
I said, everybody's called. So far, there's 9 tagged coyotes.
9 tagged coyotes where?
In our neighborhood.
Wow. That's Ravenswood. So that I wonder if they must move along the tracks.
The river.
The river?
Probably the river.
Okay. River end.
No. I don't know. This is in our neighborhood. We're way away from the river.
Oh. Okay. All right.
So
then I think it's the tracks.
We're east side of the tracks.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Everybody's the coyotes were attacking their pet rabbits in the cages and stuff at night. I thought, hey, wait a minute, why don't you get the rabbits that are running around? You know,
it helps the rat population too.
Yes,
gets rid of that.
Oh man, I've got
a story about that, but it ain't pretty, and I'm not sure if I want to do it on a Sunday morning. But John, so my feeling is, you know, you could probably still get some warm weather vegetables in there, depending on, you know, what's going to happen. Are your tomatoes still going?
They are still going crazy.
Yeah. Okay, well, good. Your tomatoes are going crazy. I bet you could even plant a squash or two and probably get something to we just planted ours at the 4th of July, after the 4th. So we, you know, my buddy Dan Costa over at Vern Goers in Hinsdale says, plant your squash after the 4th, and then you don't deal with squash vine borer. So that's why we did that. I've seen exactly one cucumber beetle in the garden so far, and so I'm knocking on Formica here and hoping we don't see a lot. But you could probably still get in some warm weather stuff, but I you already have your seedlings. I think that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. You get them in sometime in August and get them to grow into the fall, and you'll probably have a good crop.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Well,
nice talking to you. I'll drop some pictures on your website and little vignettes of stuff.
Put something on the Mike Novak Show on the Facebook page.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling, John.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, Mike. Bye, Laurie.
Bye.
Thanks.
That's an enthusiastic gardener.
Yeah.
Sure.
I would love to have a lot the size that he has, because I suspect it's not your typical 25 by 125 lot. 50-foot frontage is probably 150 feet deep. It could be a full-time job gardening at his site.
It sounds like it. And you're one of the few people I know who has a backyard that's actually smaller than mine. Yeah, most everybody I know has a bigger yard, except for you. You cram so many plants in there. I'll tell you what, I got to do something here, and then when I come back, maybe you can tell me some of the plants, the newer plants that you've put in there this year. What's working for you, and, you know, maybe what's not working for you, too. I suppose that's a possibility. That is Laurie Lewis, who is a co-chair of the Sheffield Garden Walk and festival. He's also a former Chicago Gardener of the Year. We will get around to our rant on the Mayor's Garden Awards that Lori and I are both going to rant, I think, a little bit about that. He's nodding his head. And again, your questions, 77. And actually got a really good one on Twitter here. Anybody know an app for Android that will show daily precipitation history? That's a great question. That's Snappy J Dog is asking that. I would love that on my Android. I don't.
That precipitation history for the Chicago area.
I guess it would be, yeah, Chicago area. I'm wondering if you get an app like that, whether you can type in your particular area. Now, obviously, the best thing you can do is a rain gauge in your backyard. I need a rain gauge because we got rain in my backyard both yesterday and Friday. And I'm just so excited. I'm just like, oh, okay, the world is saved. Here we are. But there's a lot of people who didn't get that in this area. But that would be a great app. I would like to know that myself. So if anybody's got that information, give us a call, 773-763-9278, or post it on Twitter or Facebook. We will be happy to pass that word along. Back with Laurie Lewis. Hang in there.
Are you passionate about fitness, nutrition, personal growth, or living a sustainable lifestyle? Natural Awakenings magazine is your local guide to a healthier, greener, and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely articles about nutrition, alternative and holistic medicine, fitness for body and mind, healthy pets, recipes, an extensive events calendar, and more. Natural Awakenings is available across Chicago and in the north and northwest suburbs. Get your free copy at wellness and fitness centers, health food and grocery store, coffee shops, libraries, and wherever free publications are found. Or visit us online at www.nachicagonorth.com. Advertisers, Natural Awakenings magazine is the perfect way to reach health-conscious and green readers looking for businesses just like yours. Call 847-858-3697 today to learn more about advertising opportunities. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Here comes the hot weather again. Sorry. It's not a lot of fun for anybody, including gardeners and festivals. But it's going to be in the middle of the week, and then it's going to go away. Still, we might go back to 100 degrees by Tuesday. However, you might get some relief from the heat in the July-August issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. You can see a list of 40, count them, 40 glorious garden getaways, where you can look at something a little more lush than your burnt-out lawn. These getaways are all across the Midwest and then some, including Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, Missouri, and even Pennsylvania. And I mean even in the nicest possible way. Then my very own editor, Carolyn Ulrich, who is an excellent writer and who just happens to be waiting for my next column. I'll have it for you in a couple of days, Carolyn, I promise. Writes about how to tweak a container garden to make the sidekick plant the star. Great writing, Carolyn. Always the best. Then there's my column on the inside back page. It's almost ready, Carolyn. Oh, wait, this is the one I turned in last time. Oh, that one's pretty good. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over town. Or get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Sorry about that, Bedalia. Rick DeMaio early, but we'll get to him. Get back to him in about 10 minutes. Tell him we'll be with him. Sorry, Rick. We'll get to you in just a sec. By the way, Rick DeMaio weather 9:45. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. It doesn't matter if the season is winter or spring or summer or fall. If you have mature trees in your yard, you just might want to have the Care of Trees phone number handy. They can't restore your power after a big storm, but they do have 24-hour emergency service, and they can take care of your damaged trees. Many people don't understand how dangerous it is to remove or prune storm-damaged trees yourself, especially if a tree falls on a car, other structures, power lines, or even other trees. In your neck of the woods, Lori, and you got a lot of trees in your neighborhood, they fall on everything. They fall on cars and other trees and power lines and homes. There's not a lot of room for a tree to fall there, is there?
Absolutely not. In fact, one of these microbursts that we had last year, an ash tree right in front of my house had a bad crotch angle in the two main branches, trunks, and it split and fell on two cars. Blocked the street and hit two cars.
Yikes. I had a bad crotch angle, but that's another story altogether. Okay. Anyway, the Care of Trees offers 24-hour emergency service to assist in performing the job safely while minimizing further risk to your property. The Care of Trees shares your enthusiasm for the many ways trees enhance the quality of your life. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Here I go, 9 a.m., sitting here staring at the tube again. I'm in denial, I'm in defeat, because if I don't get to see her, I'll be incomplete. Got no school, got no job, my friends keep saying I'm a lazy slob. But there's one thing I can't stand, it's when they're talking while I'm watching Regis and Kelly Ripa, Kelly Ripa, I'm loving the body of a stripper. Kelly Ripa, Kelly Ripa, she's a part of settle for her dad. Kelly Ripa, Kelly Ripa, if I had to drop it, I would give her. Kelly Ripa, Kelly Ripa, why do you want to think of your dad?
Now that's music. Lady yes, B likes this.
I agree.
You can turn your mic up just a tad, Lady B.
I agree. I love it.
Oh, cool. That is Cowboy Mouth, by the way.
Oh, okay.
And they're performing next Sunday at the Sheffield Garden Walk and Festival. And we're going to be playing music this morning from as many of the bands as we can. Maybe we'll just, you know, throw it in randomly.
Cool.
I don't know. But I hope they do that song. Kelly Ripa. Lori Lewis is in the studio with me, and we are talking gardening and taking your questions at 773. Oh, I believe we do. We have another one up there.
Yes, Chris.
Awesome, awesome. So let's go to Palatine and Chris, who's a regular caller. Chris, how are you this morning?
Hot. Is it October yet?
No. And you know what? It's only going to get worse. Yeah. I can't believe we still have a month and a half of, we got July and August to get through. And
Well, I haven't received my Commonwealth Edison bill yet. I think I'm going to call 911 before I open it up and just have the standby.
Exactly. And for some of us. And I've been, you know, and people laugh at me when I keep mine at 84 in the house. I say that's still 20 degrees cooler than 104. So,
but you have a house, I have an apartment.
So. Ah, all right. Well, see, you don't have to cool as much area.
True.
What's your question there, Chris?
Well, I wanted to come to talk very glowingly about the Sheffield Garden Walk. In a former life, I lived in the Ranch Triangle, which is a little bit south of Sheffield. I lived on 1800 Dayton Street. And we'd always go up there to the festival. I enjoyed the garden walks. And there was one garden there I still remember. It's been years since I've been there. I think it's either a double or triple lot. And the beautiful house, I'm not sure the exact architectural style, but it had a veranda that ran, you know, around the front and then the side of the house, you know, with ceiling fans. You know, I wonder, Lynn, do you recall that? Do you remember that house? Or do you know what I'm talking about?
If I'm not mistaken, it's a house located on the 2300 block of Racine.
Okay, that sounds about right.
It is a triple lot, and the house was built in the 1890s, and it does have that big veranda, and it's a combination shade and sun garden. It's actually the only house on that block that's not owned by DePaul University.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
And
are they holding out?
I know the owner quite well, and at such time that he does want to leave. DePaul is probably the only likely buyer, and it's also across the street from where DePaul is building a new theater school building on the corner of Racine and Fullerton.
Oh, marvelous. No, that wasn't the case when I had been down there, so we didn't have all that construction going on. But really, the gardens are just, you know, incredible. It's just amazing to see what people can do in such small spaces.
You know, you mentioned you used to live on Dayton, just south of Armitage. This year, and this will be for the final time, unfortunately, you know, Charlie Trotter's restaurant is closing.
Right.
But his gardens, his private gardens in the back of the restaurant buildings, are going to be open for display during the Garden Walk weekend. And he will be providing, which is hard to believe, for no cost, various refreshments to people that come and visit that garden.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, Chris, your phone line sounds like I'm listening to Pink Floyd. There's that hum, and then there's kind of, and I think that any second they're going to start singing, "Welcome, my son, welcome to the machine."
Well, sorry, but I do one last thing. You know, I think we only had enough rain up basically to wet the dust. But I want to ask you, are oak trees particularly resilient to drought? Because, you know, I live right by, you know, the forest preserve, and which is filled with oak trees, and I don't notice, you know, them in much distress.
I think it's going to depend on the tree, because there are certain oak trees that like it, you know, in wetter areas, and there are certain that like it in drier areas. There are certain oaks that like alkaline soil. There are certain oaks that like acidic soil. What I would say is, if it's on your own property, water it, get it some hydration, and take the if it's a mature tree, take the sprinkler out to the drip line. Don't put it full blast. Just, you know, get a little bit of sprinkling going along the drip line so that it can soak into the soil, because that's where the roots are that will absorb the water. But any tree can take a hit. In a drought like this, one of the things you might have noticed, and a lot of you who are listening to the show see a lot of leaf drop right now on trees. Those trees are protecting themselves. They're giving up those leaves because they can't afford to have transpiration going on through those leaves. So they drop the leaves so that they can conserve moisture, which means that that tree needs some water.
Well, I can't water the forest preserve, I'm afraid.
Well, no, and that's the point too, Chris. There's nothing you can really do there.
Yeah.
I'm saying for people in their own backyards, if you've got a specimen tree, if you've got a tree that you're in love with that is just adds to your property value, take care of it. Water it now. If your tree, and I've been hammering this for weeks now, and if you've got a tree that is young and you just put in, put the drip hose on it, on the root ball, and do that regularly because it's just been tough on all kinds of plants. Well, and I appreciate your phone call. Always glad to hear from you, Chris.
I'm gonna start doing a rain dance, I'll tell you.
Well, I've had 2 days, and I'm happy, and I'm hoping that some other people will get some rain as well. People like you, where you just got that little drip,
yep.
Whatever. All right, take care. Have a good Sunday.
Bye.
773-763-9278 is our telephone number. I'll tell you what, Lori, we're going to get to Rick DeMaio. In fact, let's talk about some of that. And then and I want to talk, as I mentioned before, about plants that have done well for you this year. I know that you're always a guy who likes to try out new stuff. I'm not so much. I'm not so much adventurous like that. But, you know, you have that flair, and you like to go out and give a shot to these new cultivars, and you can tell us some of the ones that have worked and some of the ones that haven't. That's Lori Lewis, former Chicago Gardener of the Year. He is the co-chair of the Sheffield Garden Walk and Festival next Saturday and Sunday in the Sheffield area, and I'm sure that you're all going to stop by.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Did you know that we're just halfway through the gardening season? I know it feels like it's gardening season's lasted about 3 years. So if you didn't get it right the first half, you can get it right the second half at Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center. And they're near and dear to your heart, aren't they, Lori?
Absolutely. For the second year in a row, they are a major sponsor for all the gardens for the Garden Walk, and we really very much appreciate their support.
She's been great here, too. I love to have her as a sponsor on the show. And, of course, she was, I don't know if you caught our Pride broadcast, but we brought Christy into the booth for 3 hours to comment on the parade, and she was a stitch. She was just a stitch. And she was there with a bad back. She had thrown her back out, you know, because she's one of those company owners that doesn't act like a company owner. She's out there hauling stuff herself, lifting and throwing things around, and sometimes it'll come back to get you. But she is wonderful. And their latest offerings at Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, in the annual department, they'll get you revved up in the second half of the season, and that's where champions are made. Their petunias are popping, along with other annuals like Calibrachoa, Sweet Potato Vine, Vinca, Lantana, Graceful Cosmos, and adorable mixed plantings for sun and shade. Want and need perennials? This week, Christy Weber received another huge batch of tall, locally grown grasses in 1 to 3 gallon pots. Some are 4 feet tall. They also have coneflower, Russian sage, delphinium, phlox, and more. Serious eye candy. Need something delivered? You're in luck. They deliver to most neighborhoods in Chicago for a very reasonable fee. Go to Christy Weber. .com, ChristyWeber, and click on Garden Center, or visit Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center on Facebook, or just stop by at 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian Village. Look for the explosion of color.
Hot, dry summers are hard on our lawns and landscapes. Use Milorganite fertilizer to help your lawn and landscape survive the stressful summer season. Hi, I'm gardening expert Melinda Myers. The organic nitrogen in Milorganite is slow release and non-burning, even during drought. The fertilizer will be in place and ready to work when better growing conditions and moisture return, so there's no need to water it in. Plus, the 4% iron promotes deep green growth. Milorganite, for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com. For a garden center near you.
How far do you want to go? Ooh. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah. 1, 2, 3.
Put a little love in it. Put a little love in it. Put a little love in it. Before it breaks you down. Put a little love in it. Put a little love in it before it brings you down.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. That is the Ike Riley assassination. I'm telling you, there's going to be some rocking going on at that Sheffield Garden Walk next Saturday and Sunday. Let's see, Ike Riley is... Let's look at the schedule here. This week. Oh, there we go. They are 6 p.m. on Saturday, just before Gomez comes by at 8 p.m. And on the line, I've got Rick DeMaio, meteorologist extraordinaire. How are you, Rick?
I'm good, Mike. Are you enjoying the fact that we got about an inch and a half of rain the last couple of days?
Yeah. I got to tell you, it happened in my neighborhood. We're very excited about that. Now, that's my question. I was looking at the radar all day yesterday, seeing where it was popping up. How much of a dent in the drought did the rain make yesterday?
Okay. Right now, the drought's like the size of a tractor-trailer truck, and you took a ping-pong ball and threw it against the side of the trailer.
Okay, that's all the time we have today. Good night, Greg.
that's pretty much it. And I've spoken to a few people who watch agricultural weather a lot more closely than I do, and they said basically pretty much the corn crop is almost done for the year. And that's a sad state of affairs.
Really? No, done?
Yeah. Because what's going to happen is over the next week, when we get back into temperatures in the upper 90s to low 100s, this is the most sensitive time of the year for corn when it gets into its silking phase. And that's when the kernels are actually begun to develop under the husk. And if you don't have some sort of substantial rainfall or cooler temperatures during that time, you're going to end up with corn that's about half the size of what it normally is by the time we get to harvest. So what's really disturbing, Mike, is that the U.S. Department of Agriculture on Thursday downgraded the harvest almost 12%, which is amazing when you think about the fact that we actually planted 4% more corn this year. I think instead of 92 million acres, we planted 96 million due to the demand from China and also India. For example, last year, China imported 5 million metric tons of corn. This year, amazingly enough, they're expected to import 8 million metric tons. So think about what happens here. You have 12% less corn to provide people who want almost 50% more corn. What does that do to the price of a bushel of corn? It's skyrocketing, and it's probably only going to get worse because right now the USDA reports that 18 states across the Midwest have not only been hurt by the drought, but almost 50% of the corn is now rated as fair to poor.
Mm.
And I know we talked a little bit through email last week about the fact that on this week with George Stephanopoulos, which was Terry Moran.
I was going to put – oh, you know what? I was thinking, and I couldn't remember this morning.
Time to play that.
I got to find it now because you sent that to me, and I thought I have got to play this at the top of the show. That George Will, meteorologist, telling us, oh, you know why it's hot? It's summer.
Yeah.
Duh.
What hurts more than anything, Mike? You know, George Will is from Champaign. He grew up in Central Illinois. His dad was a professor at U of I, and of all people to basically take his head and stick it in the sand in this particular.
No, he stuck it someplace else.
Yeah, I'm sure he did as well. But it was, and then you know what? And you know Orion Samuelson. I called Orion Monday morning. And this was after he gave his farm report on GN Radio. I think it was about 5:30 in the morning. He said, I drove all the way from Chicago up to western Wisconsin because he grew up in that area. And he said, in 60 years of watching the weather, I've never seen the corn look this bad. It looked like droopy pineapple plants that just haven't gotten enough rain. He goes, and this is the second week of July, and we still have a lot more summer to go. And then I called him up and I mentioned that to him, and he goes, that was a shame that George actually said that, because not only that, Mike, but really what he was doing, what Mr. Will was doing, he was politicizing the issue. And he knew that if he would say anything that showed that he was somewhat sensitive or sympathetic to the fact that this extreme weather is occurring, he didn't want to go on the record by saying that it could be a result of some human-induced actions, not only here but across the rest of the world. And he tried to stay as far away from that subject as possible by saying it's summer. And that really is a shame, Mike, because not only were people hurt in the D.C. area by the extreme heat and power outages and across Ohio, but now it's becoming a catastrophic agricultural disaster, which could rival that of 1988.
Let's see if I got this here. I thought I had it, but I don't have it. I thought I had the George Will. I'm going to find that. I'm going to track that down. I've got it here. It's not coming up on where I wanted it to here on the board. But
for your listeners that want to grab it if they don't have time to listen to it during the show, just Google George Will this week and last week, and it really went viral. I think a lot of people grabbed onto that, and what it really showed was. In an election year, you don't have to take sides with an issue. You become sympathetic towards what is happening and the fact that this could go down as the worst drought since 1988. And on top of that, you try to talk to people in eastern Colorado, in parts of Kansas, in parts of Missouri, in parts of Ohio, in parts of D.C. I mean, this event is breaking records dating all the way back to 1936. And as you mentioned a short time ago, you look at the calendar. It's only the 15th of July. It isn't the 15th of August. We just hit, you know, number 29th day above 90 yesterday. We'll do 30 today. We averaged 19. And even dating back to 1988, I think we're actually ahead of that particular event. And even though we may not be as dry as 1988, the problem is there's more of a demand for the product. So because there's more of a demand, and the jury is still out on soybeans. Soybeans is the kind of crop that actually harvests a little bit later. But it is really amazing what's beginning to happen across the Midwest. And I think Governor Pat Quinn went down to southern Illinois and issued some sort of a drought plan because that part of the state is under a severe drought, while here in our neck of the woods, we're under a moderate drought. Even though we had some rain yesterday, it's not going to be enough. It really isn't.
I was looking at the drought map, and there's a little corridor that kind of goes through the north part of the state, and it's less severe. It's like a moderate drought, but north of that into Wisconsin, severe drought. South of it into southern Illinois, severe drought.
Oh yeah, and I was up around the Island Lake area a couple of days ago before they got some of the decent rain. And you look around and you go, is that grass or is that hay? I mean, all the public lawns, most people's lawns, they just let go. You couldn't even walk on this stuff. At least around here, the grass had a little bit of a softness to it. It was actually crunchy in some areas. And I raised the question, too. I mean, I know that we need to let these things go dormant, but at what point, you know, are we looking at long-term damage? And the thing about it is, even though this hasn't been as dry as 1988 was, what has happened over the last month and a half, we've had a lot of sunshine and some much, much warmer temperatures. So the evaporation rate, as I mentioned several times, has been much, much higher. And it's those top 2 or 3 inches of soil moisture is basically at about maybe 10 or 15%. And even the rain that occurred the last couple of days has probably already evaporated. And the fact that we're going right back into a hot pattern over the next 3 days is probably just going to make things worse. So we're lucky here in the Chicagoland area that we get our water from Lake Michigan, because I know that there's some surrounding communities that your audience is probably listening to, and they're probably on well water right now, and I'm sure that they're probably feeling the effects of this.
I will add in here, and Lori, you can, if you want, what I've understood in terms of preventing permanent damage to your lawn, preventing killing it, you need about a half an inch every 3 to 4 weeks just to keep the crowns viable in dormancy. Lori?
That's correct. And you also have to be very careful about mowing the lawn. You want to obviously leave it probably closer to 3 inches long.
I'd say if you're mowing it at all, you're an idiot right now.
I got to interject here real quickly. I saw a couple of mowing services out there. I'm like saying, what are you doing? this is like someone who's bald going for a haircut once a week.
That's part of the problem. I was at a place, and this was 3 weeks ago, where they were mowing a park, and the lawn hadn't grown at all.
Right.
And you know they're on a schedule, and that's their schedule says, right, we have to mow. So all it was doing was dragging up dust.
Right, right, right.
And there was no lawn to be mowed,
right,
and you'd think that a municipality, and I won't name the suburb it was because it wasn't,
right,
one of the suburbs,
right,
you'd think they would know better, but
right,
these guys have their jobs. Give them a different job. That's crazy.
It's like 1936 during the Dust Bowl years all over again where people are saying, well, I got to find water, so now I'm going to dig down 4 inches. Now I'm going to dig down 5 inches. And yeah, after a while, I think people have just got to say, look, you know, stop mowing a lawn, stop doing any sort of a lawn care on public gardens or municipal gardens, and which are basically the same, but more of a larger scale, and just let it go. I think that's probably the best way to go about it.
And, Rick, the same thing applies to people that use their hedge trimmers or the electric trimmers,
mm-hmm,
to scalp their shrubs, especially broadleaf evergreens, to
mm-hmm
start opening those wounds when you start cutting these things in this hot
mm-hmm
weather is just disaster.
That's a really, really good point, Lori. Yeah, because I can't imagine. Although, I guess the other argument could be made, if you're cutting off leaves that are transpiring, is that better? You're saying it's worse to open up the
I think
the
it's worse opening up the branch wounds.
Yeah.
And I know, Mike, we only got a minute to go here, but I think the bottom line is everybody's got to remember, it's still only the 15th of July.
Yeah.
I mean, we conceivably could have another 2 months of this stuff. So the forecast in detail, no rain today. It looks like we go dry. The warm front goes through, so temperatures probably getting up to low 90s today. And then the real heat comes back at us during the day tomorrow and Tuesday, probably 95 to 98 tomorrow, probably 98 to near 100 during the day on Tuesday. Next best chance of rain, rather, on Wednesday with a couple of thunderstorms. We cool off Thursday and Friday, but we remain dry, and then right back into what looks like to be a longer extended period of heat beginning on probably next Saturday.
No!
The 21st to the 26th. Yeah, the pattern, it hasn't gone away. It kind of ebbs and flows back and forth. And I seriously think by this time next week and by the end of the July, you'll be hearing about catastrophic losses across Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana and Ohio due to the fact that the corn just isn't going to make it through this period.
Yeah, you know, Rick, you're making Lori cry here with the prediction of hot weather next weekend. He's crying right here in the studio.
I know. And I know people want to get to the Sheffield Garden Walk, and I'm sure it's going to be pretty because you're in an urban area with a lot of shade. So get out there early between 9 and about 11 o'clock. I think you'll be fine. I just ended up swimming in Lake Michigan, and the water is about 78 degrees. I've never seen it this warm this early.
Lori, he's tearing his hair out now. He says the thing doesn't start till noon. So, we're just going to pretend it's going to be cool next week.
And by the way, get it early. You know, this is where I say you change the way things work. Start it early and, you know, get people in and out and you know, we'll see what happens.
Rick, you didn't get that check I sent you in the mail.
Yeah, no, I didn't. And one more quick thing. I got a tweet. It says, George Will also wrote a terrible book on baseball, Men at Work. Don't bother checking it out. That's what he says.
Brother.
Rick DeMaio, we'll talk to you next week.
See you, Mike.
Hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
And this is Mr. Blotto. Mr. Blotto is at 3:45 p.m. Next Sunday, when Rick DeMaio says it might be in the 90s. You should see. I'm sorry, Lori. I didn't bring my camera today. I wish I had taken a photograph as you were listening to Rick's forecast. But you know what? 90s is fine. You can get away with 90s, right?
It's the high humidity. Even low 90s is okay. But the high humidity, when that comfort index, heat index hits 100 and over 100, that's really a problem.
Yeah, and it just sends people. But you know what? There's cool drinks. There's lemonade. There's iced tea.
Cold beer.
Not too much cold beer.
No.
But And we're getting people tweeting about the drought. Got one here from My Skinny Garden who says, in Wisconsin Dells area, they will fine you $175 for smoking outside. In a city of water parks, everything is dying. Crazy. That's Wisconsin Dells. Okay. Yikes. And it's just, and as Rick says, and he's been pointing to this for a long time, he keeps saying, I don't see a change. I don't see a change in the pattern. Looks like it's going to get worse before it gets better. And if the corn crop fails, price of just about everything goes up because corn is in everything we eat. Not only the stuff we eat, stuff we use, emulsifiers and those sorts of things, holding things together, glues.
Fructose syrup, corn fructose.
Oh, yeah.
Syrup.
Well, you know, you can't even have a soda. And I try not, I ration myself. I allow myself about one soda a week. That's it. That's all I get. Otherwise, I want to, it's going to be either water or coffee. Too much coffee, but not a lot of high fructose corn syrup drinks. 773-763-9278 is the number. We're getting some phone calls, Lori. Before we get to your garden, let's take a quick one from M in Logan Square. M, you live in my neck of the woods. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. I had a point of interest that I thought I'd like to bring up, and then you talked about all this corn stuff. I was talking to my aunt in St. Joseph, Illinois, which is 9 miles outside of Urbana, and she said that the farmers just south of them were plowing their corn crop under because the corn ears hadn't developed enough to even harvest.
You know, I'm not surprised at that. I mean, I guess it's accept the loss and move on. My question is, what do they do after they plow it under? Do they go for a different crop, or do they just let it sit there? I'll tell you what, if you're a farmer listening, 773-763-9278. Sorry about that. Give me a call. I want to know what happens at that point. Do you have any idea, Em?
No, I don't. Because she was saying that she wasn't even sure that the soybeans had developed enough.
Yeah, it's we're in a world of hurt right now, and it doesn't look like, according to Rick, that it's going to change anytime soon. Well, that's
really, and a lot of people don't even notice that.
Go ahead. Sorry.
As long as they can get food on the table and the prices haven't escalated so much, nobody's going to notice.
Well, they will escalate at some point, Em. You know that. It will happen.
Oh, of course I do.
But your point is well taken in that we are so disconnected from the land, which is why I talk about gardening, which is why I talk about the environment, and which is more and more I talk about growing food. And I can tell you that the people, and I always talk about my community garden, and I'm sorry if I bore people with that, but one of the things it has done in my neighborhood is reconnected a lot of those people to the land. They know that if they're not out there watering, they know that if they're not out there weeding, staking, taking care of it, it's not going to grow. It's not going to be there. And you learn a little bit about what it takes on a small scale to do this. Just getting kids, we have so many kids involved who now kind of understand that, well, if you want tomatoes, you got to water. If you want squash, you've got to protect them from squash vine borer and from cucumber beetles and that sort of thing. And it's a constant battle. And as you say, people don't notice. More and more people are noticing right now because we're getting into dire circumstances. But your point is well taken, Em.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling. Where in Logan Square do you live?
Fullerton and Rockwell.
Fullerton and what? I'm sorry?
Rockwell.
Rockwell. Okay. Well, you're kind of a neighbor to me, and I appreciate you listening to the program, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Bye.
Have a good Sunday. It's 773-763-9278 on the Mike Novak Show. Please give us a call. Let's take another one real quick. And this is Lisa in Chicago. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Hi, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
So I was calling into the hydrangea in June, and I'm having trouble with it.
I'm not surprised.
I don't know if I put it. Yeah, we've been watering it. My neighbors and I have been watering it constantly, but I think I might have put it in an area with too much sunshine.
Well, okay.
It's really, really burnt, and I don't know if we're watering it incorrectly or if it's just planted in a bad spot or both.
Well, you have called the right radio station because Lori Lewis, Master Gardener and former Chicago Gardener of the Year, is here, and he's now. The first question we need to ask you is, what kind of hydrangea do you have?
Oh, it's called a bell something. You know, I meant to look at the tag before I called in, and I didn't.
Okay. What color does it bloom?
From the store, it's blue. I don't think it's been in my house long enough to pick a color.
Okay, it's either going to be a microphylla or what? What do you think, Lori?
Does the name Lisa Invincibel sound right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay, Invincibel.
That's that new hydrangea came out about 2 years ago. It's supposed to have the spectacular blooms, and it blooms on new wood.
Mm-hmm.
So my suggestion is, you said you think it's what direction does it face?
South. It probably gets a good 6 hours of sunshine, if not more.
Now, it doesn't like that much sunshine, especially unless you just really, really irrigate it a lot. But you said you just planted it. And
in June, right?
Okay.
In June? Oh, well, okay. I know what he's going to tell you, too.
And I don't know what, when you purchased it, was it in a container or was it a ball in burlap? Okay. Most likely, and let me ask you this, when you took it out of the container, were there a lot of roots that were root-bound in the container?
It was very root-bound, yes.
Okay. Did you break those up?
A little. I was nervous about doing too much.
Okay.
All right. So, you should tease them a little bit, and if it's really, really root-bound, you got to be a little forceful. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to rip the roots, but you might spend a little more time teasing them, because Lori's pointing out that they're all sort of growing together there, and they're not growing out. But that being said, and I think I know where Lori's going with this. First of all, just so you know, Lisa, it's been a tough year for hydrangeas. This is not a great year for hydrangeas. I've got hydrangeas in my yard that are established, and every time we get to 100 degrees, they just start to droop a little bit, and I give them a little hydration, and they pop right back. It's tough on hydrangeas. Lori, were you going to suggest that she might want to pop that out and put it someplace else?
That was my next comment. I was going to do that. The other thing is, there is a thing called transplant shock, and given the conditions that we have this year, that plant is probably in some level of shock. And it's a pretty tough plant. If you're looking for the blooms that may have been on the label that came with the plant, the Invincibel blooms won't happen until next year or possibly even the year after. It just won't be those big pink blooms that you were thinking of getting. It takes a little while for that plant to get established.
Okay. It actually had a lot of them on, and now they're just completely fried. Like, it literally looks like somebody took a torch to it.
Yeah, did you buy it with blooms on the plant?
Yeah, it had blooms on the plant. Now, it does have some new growth that had some real pretty nice blooms. They were smaller than the original blooms, but it definitely was growing. We're watering it once or twice a day.
Let me ask you,
it just looks fried.
Let me ask you this. When you water that plant, how do you water it? What do you use to water it?
The garden hose and the shower phase.
Okay, and do you stick it at the base of the plant, or do you water the leaves?
I water the base, but I think some of my neighbors, I'm in a condo, I think some just water, for all of our plants, I think they're watering, just spraying the whole plant.
Okay. Yeah.
The most people don't know how to water, whether it be a tree or a shrub or perennials. You have to remember the roots for that plant that you just put in the ground go down at least 8 to 10 inches, maybe a foot. What you have to see is how deep does that water really get when you use the spritzer at the end of the hose. My guess is if you're there for 5 minutes, the water probably only gets down a couple inches.
Yeah.
So what you can do to test this, just dig some soil to the right or left of the plant and see how deep that water penetration goes.
Okay.
And now let
me
ask
you. I should dig it up?
You know what? I hate to disturb a plant in the drought, but I got a feeling that it hasn't really established any roots outside the root ball that you it came with, and Lori is nodding, and we're both saying, yeah, dig that sucker up, all right? And it's going to be a really good lesson to you. When you dig that up, you'll get a chance to see if any roots have formed, but given that you did it at the beginning of June, probably not. And then tease them. First of all, find a site that's not going to get blasted by sun 6 hours. It doesn't need 6 hours. What would you say? 4 hours, 3 hours? You know, half of what you're getting now.
Facing east is the best exposure.
That's the one exposure I don't have.
Okay. Then you know what? Even if it has to face north or even west, it depends on which sun you get at the, if it's a western exposure. If it's sun after 3 or 4 o'clock, that's okay. But it's that midday sun that's just a killer.
Okay.
So anything you can protect it from the midday sun is going to be helpful. I mean, if you can find a place under a tree where you get some dappled light, and I know in the city that's kind of tough because what we don't get dappled light. We get three flat light, which is shade. But still, I've got a couple of hydrangeas in my yard. I got blue billows, which I was told by somebody, that doesn't work up here. I said, are you kidding me? That thing rocks every year. It's just, it's beautiful. But it's practically in the shade. It does get a little bit of sun, but it does great. So you're going to learn a lesson here, Lisa. Your lesson is you're going to dig it up. First of all, you're going to see how dry the soil is at the base of the plant, and you're going to realize you haven't been watering deeply enough. You're going to see the roots. You're going to see they're still wrapped around that root ball. And you're going to tease them out. And when I say tease them out, don't rip them out. Tease them out as much as you can around the plant. And then you're going to put it in an area where there's some shade. You're going to mulch it. You're going to put mulch around it. Does it have mulch now?
No.
Okay. You're going to mulch it. You're going to get some wood chips, and you're going to put that around it as well so it holds the moisture into the soil. And you're going to see a difference. Even if the weather stays hot, especially if you water properly. What I would suggest is not so much the wand. I would take your drip hose and your hose and just take that wand off and let it trickle onto the hydrangea onto the root ball for half an hour at a time, you know? For once or maybe, you know, whenever it looks droopy, I guess is what I would say, unless you got a better idea, Lori.
No, the leaves are a good indicator on hydrangeas. If you start to see the leaves wilt, you know you're shortage of water, and you don't want the plants to get to that point. You don't want to shock them and give them a lot of water. So it's consistent watering early in the morning is the best time to do it, and do it efficiently at the soil level at the base of the plant, not through the foliage.
Okay.
And,
well, thanks so much, guys.
Well, our pleasure. And I'll tell you what I want you to do, Lisa. When you do this, I want you to call back or write back to me and let me know how it goes, all right?
Oh, I will.
All right, great. Thanks for calling. Have a good – and do it quickly because it's going to get – well, you might wait till Wednesday when it gets a little cooler. Actually, that's not a bad bit of advice. When the weather is a little cooler, like if it's the high 80s versus high 90s, that will be a better time to transplant this thing. Meanwhile – if before you transplant it, get the drip hose out on there.
All right.
All right. Thanks for calling, Lisa.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. 773-763-9278 is our phone number. The phone lines are rocking. Let's take one more before I got to do some other stuff here, and let's go to Mike in Waukegan. Mike, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
How you doing there, Mike?
Good. What's up?
Well, yeah, I'm just curious. I'm thinking, you know, that this drought we're having could be the result of recent industrialization of, you know, the countries like the Asian countries, China, India, Indonesia, you know, all those, you know, you hear that, you know, a new power plant, a coal-firing power plant pops up, what, every 2 weeks in those countries, you know, and you have all this carbon dioxide being pumped into the atmosphere and heading, you know, the prevailing westerlies take all this, you know, from west to east, and we're just experiencing this spike, you know, in temperature because of this.
Well, there's a number of articles that I've seen recently that say this, and Rick and I talked about this last week. This is what climate change looks like. You know, is this the result of climate change? Rick is always very cautious about that, and I think wisely to come out and say, "Yep, this is it." It would be foolish. On the other hand, people who say, and he's one of these people, said that this is what the models tell us is going to happen when we have climate change, these droughts. I mean, look at London. They're dying there. They're about to have the Olympics, and they can't get it to stop raining. You know, and it's these anomalies all over the planet. And one thing pushes another around the planet. And here we are with this drought, and here's London, and where else? Someplace else? Japan, having torrential rains washing out. They had like 20 inches of rain in a couple of days. It's just insane. The fact that it has something to do with the industry of the planet, I think, is undeniable.
Right, and, you know, I mean, it seems like, during the Bush 41, he proposed planting vast, you know, numbers of trees, you know, up in the billions, you know, to compensate for the spike in CO2, which is up around, nearly 400 parts per million. You know, if we were to plant, to do that, you know, and another thing, too, I've written to the Obama administration about planting industrial cannabis hemp, which is a very foliant plant, which would give off a lot of oxygen. It provides four times the ethanol weight for weight that corn does.
It's biomass that we can use for fuel. It is the hemp itself can use for cords and all kinds of uses.
Exactly. Canadians grow it. All these other countries can, but here in the land of the free, we can't grow it. And it's insane. I don't understand it.
It's totally insane, Mike.
And it's because it looks like marijuana. Okay.
No, it's related to it. It's cannabis.
Right.
What's wrong with you, Mike?
Exactly.
Are you crazy?
And should we ban pictures of guns because they look like the real thing?
Yeah, I kind of like that idea.
I don't understand what, and we're going to kill ourselves if we don't wake up. I really mean it. I don't know.
You make a really good point where we need forward-thinking people in terms of climate. We can't afford these troglodytes. We can't afford to have the troglodytes telling us that the jury's still out. The jury is not out.
It's not, and the cannabis plant has saved past civilizations from starvation. It's a miracle plant, and we can't use it.
Well, that's just pure.
That's because of the Drug Enforcement Administration.
Get
rid of that. That organization should be gone. You know, completely wiped out.
Well, we've got a lot of backward looking policies in that regard. Well, Mike, great comments, and I really appreciate it.
You bet.
Thanks for calling.
You bet. Bye.
Oh, now he's going to get me all worked up. All right. We got a couple more calls, but before we do that, hang on, you guys. 773-763-9278. I appreciate all the calls, and we're getting great calls today. And Lori Lewis, former Gardener of the Year, City of Chicago, and current Master Gardener, along with me. We're both Master Gardeners. Answering your gardening questions. We got a lot of tweets here, too. I had a tweet here, don't plant hydrangeas. You know, our advice, don't plant hydrangeas in full sun. And the person writes, so true. My Incredibel isn't looking so happy in full sun. I understand that. I had a comment here, when she replants it, use a product with mycorrhizae to help roots get established. Do you work with mycorrhizae products?
I do not, but I've read about it, and I do not, but it helps. Anything natural like that.
Well, I'm going to say compost, you know. I was talking about mulching to preserve moisture, but also compost preserves moisture. It brings biology, which includes mycorrhizae, you know. So these are things you might want to look into. Here's a tweet from Zan. The patch grass in my front yard where I don't water is gone. Crowns are dead. Even the euonymus and pachysandra are suffering. Wow. That's saying something, isn't it? Yikes. You can't kill those plants.
Let me ask you this. Is she growing the euonymus and pachysandra in full sun?
Is that the problem, do you think?
Maybe. She says it's right next to the grass, is that possible?
I guess so. It might be. All right. Hang on, you guys. Let me take care of some business. We need to rant just a little bit. We're going to do as much phone calls as we can. 773-763-9278. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Are you passionate about fitness, nutrition, personal growth, or living a sustainable lifestyle? Natural Awakenings magazine is your local guide to a healthier, greener, and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely articles about nutrition, alternative and holistic medicine, fitness for your body and mind, healthy pets, recipes, an extensive events calendar, and more. Natural Awakenings is available across Chicago and in the north and northwest suburbs. Get your free copy at wellness and fitness centers, health food and grocery stores, coffee shops, libraries, and wherever free publications are found. Or visit us online at www.nachicagonorth.com. Advertisers, Natural Awakenings magazine is the perfect way to reach health-conscious and green readers looking for businesses just like yours. Call 847-858-3697 today to learn more about advertising opportunities. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
I may have found a golf buddy here. I didn't know you were a golfer. See, and don't people say to you, how can you do that? Oh, it's like, it's sort of the antithesis of being an environmental guy. At least they say that to me. But
well, one of the courses I play at, actually, parts of it actually is adjacent to the Chicago Botanic Garden.
Oh, I know which one.
They have certain areas which are Audubon certified locations for wildlife.
Although I got to talk about that. In fact, I'm going to have later this year, Derek Settle. Do you know Derek Settle? He sends these reports out every week. Where is it? The Chicago District Golf Association. And he's a turf guy. And he's always talking about turf. Like this week he wrote, tired, not just because record heat has entered our supposed cool, humid environment, but also because days are long at the end of a hose. It makes sense when you consider plus 90 or plus 100 daytime highs versus the biology of a cool season turf grass system, which is poorly adapted to heat. Turf is tired. The turf is tired, he says. Just more item is needed to connect the dots. I think he was typing real fast there. But, you know, he sends these reports out every, and I'm going to have him on to talk about turf and what golf courses are doing to be a little more environmentally friendly. And generally what they're doing is, it's not so much the what goes into the turf that you play on, but it's surrounding areas, which they are turning into habitat. And that's, you know, it's a step forward. You know, yeah, they're still using lots of chemicals. Yeah, There's lots of chemicals on those golf courses. But so don't put the tea in your mouth like I used to do when I was in my 20s, which is why I'm brain damaged right now. But the areas around the fairways and the greens tend to be, there's a lot more habitat. You see birds, you see natural plantings, you see natives. It's an improvement.
I was playing there last year, and I'm walking up the 17th fairway, and walking on the other side of the fairway was a coyote, just minding his own business.
Did he have a sand wedge in his hand?
Yeah.
He was going the other direction. Okay. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. We're going to keep hammering you about keeping your trees watered as long as this drought continues. So listen up. If you got rain yesterday, great. But your soil probably still doesn't have the moisture it needs. Rick DeMaio compared it to throwing a ping pong ball at a truck, whatever he meant by that. So when you water, use a drip hose for young trees and a sprinkler on low at the drip line for mature trees, and water deeply. In addition, mulching and other soil care activities can help create the optimal growing condition for your trees. Mulching is a great way to help trees in general, especially in drought conditions. Use organic materials such as wood chips or composted leaves. Mulch helps conserve moisture in the soil, increase the amount of organic material and activity. And by the way, a great deal of tree root growth occurs in the fall. Practices that promote root development then, meaning starting right now, will go a long way to protecting the long-term health of your trees. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Yeah, love, love, love. Who cares about that? That's Vintage Blue. Let me look at the schedule here. They are going to be 2:30 next Sunday at the Sheffield Garden Walk and Festival. Lori Lewis is here. He's one of the organizers for that. He's a master gardener, former Gardener of the Year, City of Chicago. All right. And we'll get a little more. We've been plugging the event the whole show, but it's an excuse for me to get him on the program just to talk about gardening. And we've got great calls, and we really appreciate it. Hang on, folks. We'll be back to you, but we need to do a little rant, Lori and I. And that's because we're master gardeners, and we also know that the city of Chicago for, 58 years has done the Mayor's Garden Awards. And it started, obviously, with the Elder Daily, continued through Harold Washington and up into Richie Jr. and, Rahm Emanuel. We're a little unhappy because it doesn't look like it's going to happen this year. Breaking the string. Has it been 58 continuous years?
58 continuous years. Actually, it preceded Richard J. Daley.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose, and it has evolved because it started out basically with single-family homes. And now they have numerous categories from rooftop gardens to habitat gardens to native gardens to school gardens and homes and so forth, what it does is it is a bonding vehicle for people that have a common interest, organizations that have a common interest in the city of Chicago, to showcase their gardening talents from one end of the city to the other. And there are no cash prizes. It's simply a contest where you get a plaque if you're a winner in whatever category. But there are people from of all ages, from kids to senior citizens, from all racial backgrounds, all income backgrounds, and the one common bond is gardening, horticultural, greening. And it's a shame.
It is.
Because the cost to the city, and everyone's about cutting money, it's a sponsored contest by corporate sponsors. There basically is no cost to the city of Chicago for something that promotes greenery and beautification in the city.
And I cannot figure out why they won't do it.
No.
And I was told, and I saw this coming at the awards last year, because I was at the awards last year. My community garden won an award. I have judged awards. I have done the keynote talk at the awards ceremony. And I've been to the ceremony many times. And you cannot measure the joy that you see on people's faces when they get to come to Garfield Park Conservatory or wherever they're holding the award ceremony, and they pick up their plaque and they take it home to that community and they go, look what we did. And everybody is part of it. And that the Emanuel administration does not have the foresight to understand, or, you know, it's the connection with the average person to understand how important this is. It angers me. And it frustrates me, and I know you feel that frustration, Lori.
And even so, last year, and every year I've been involved with this contest, and I've won many awards with it, but every year Mayor Daley himself would be there. He would walk around. He'd talk with the people, take photographs with everyone. And last year, which was Emanuel's first the contest for the first time under his administration, he sent one of his staff people to give the to hand out the awards. Didn't even show up. And then, of course, they make the announcement that we're not sure about the future of this program.
And earlier, the person he sent was Karen Weigert, who is the chief sustainability officer, as they call it. And actually, I'm having a meeting with her on Tuesday to talk about their plan for sustainability in the city of Chicago. So that'll be interesting, and I guess I should bring up, where are the garden awards? I hope I don't get disinvited from the meeting now because I've said this publicly, but, I was told earlier in the year that they were looking at ways, the city was looking at ways to do it, but, you know, we don't have a lot of money, and you and I both know that all they have to do is go to the Master Gardeners, City of Chicago Master Gardeners, and they would do it. In a heartbeat, they would volunteer to get this thing done. Just so, and what's the outlay for this? A few plaques, as you said, a room to do it in. The Hilton has donated that for the last couple of years downtown. The one on Wacker. It ain't a lot of money, folks. And I'll bet if the city said, "Hey, we need money for the gardeners for the Mayor's Garden Awards," somebody would step up and do it. So why are we not doing this in the city of Chicago? We can't afford it in the city of Chicago? That's absurd.
Isn't the motto of the city of Chicago Urbs in Orto?
Well spoken, Lori Lewis. So there's the challenge. Here's what I tell you to do. If you're listening to the show, call the mayor. Call the mayor's office. Call your alderman and say, how come we're not having a garden award this year in the city of Chicago? It's not too late. It could happen. It'd be late. Hey, listen, I've judged gardens in October. It's not the same as they are in May, obviously. And in a year like this, who knows? But it's not too late to get this done. Come on. What are you thinking? So Lori and I are a little worked up about that. Let's take another phone call here, because then I want to talk about some other garden events coming up. Who's been on the longest? I believe that it's Darius in Calumet City. Good morning, Darius.
Good morning. I have a simple question. What is a good grass fertilizer?
Well, what's a good grass fertilizer?
Right.
I like organic products. I like going to, you know, Dr. Earth, who of course is a sponsor on the show, but there's other good products like Jonathan Green. There's Espoma. You can get, you got to go to, well, Espoma actually sells in the box stores now. So you can get Espoma, E-S-P-O-M-A, and you can get them in the box stores. A lot of these other organic products, you have to go to a garden center. Now, you're in Calumet City.
Right.
I would say Allsup is a great place, another great sponsor on my show. In Frankfort and St. John's, Indiana.
Okay.
And go there, talk to their people, say you want a good organic lawn fertilizer. And the reason you want to use one of those is because there's biology associated with them. With the synthetic fertilizers, it's nitrogen, and they put too much nitrogen. I had a woman ask me this. It was a high schooler. I did a talk last week, and to some high school kids, and a girl asked me. She said, "I said that in synthetic fertilizers, they often put like by weight 28% or 30% in a bag of lawn fertilizer." And she said, "Well, why do they do that?" Because I had explained to her, I said, the lawn can't possibly absorb all of that fertilizer. And a lot of it gets wasted and gets washed into the sewers, gets washed into the soil, and causes problems in our lakes and streams because we have way too much nitrogen and phosphorus going into the lakes and streams. She said, well, why do they do that? And it was the first time anybody had asked me that question. And my answer was probably because they can. And they sell the idea that you have to have the more nitrogen you have, the faster your lawn is going to green up. Well, that's just not true. You know what lawns do in the spring? They green up. That's what they do naturally. They don't necessarily need that boost. But if you want to fertilize, I'm going to say, and the best time to fertilize is coming up. It will be September and October. That's when you really want to work on your lawn. And if you get a good organic fertilizer in there, Darius, it will set you up for the following year. Now, if you let your lawn go dormant this year and some of it died, you're probably going to have to overseed as well, which means you're going to have to get some good grass seed and the right kind for what you have in your lawn, you know, whether you have full sun or shade or part shade, and whatever it is you want to achieve. And that's why I say go to a good garden center and ask them for their advice. And like I said, Allsup would be a good one for you to go to on the south side. And ask them what organic, they have a lot of Jonathan Green products down there. I know they also have Dr. Earth as well, and I think they've got Espoma as well. And there are others. You'll see that the nitrogen in there, instead of being 28, might be 5. It might be as high as 10, but never above that for an organic. And that tells you that it's the less nitrogen you have, the more likely the plant can actually absorb it. Lori, did you want to jump in?
It's also a danger of fertilizing, especially under these conditions, that a very concentrated level of nitrogen in fertilizer could burn the you know, and destroy the grass at this point with the lack of rain.
Yeah.
And so really you're better off, if you don't irrigate your lawn, you're better off waiting till it cools off or we get more consistent rain.
Yeah, and I would probably say that anyway. I would probably say you're probably better off waiting for the rain to perk up the grass a little bit before you fertilize, any kind of fertilizer at this point. But I did have somebody tweet me the other week when I was talking about this, and they said, hey, you got to remember manures have, you know, and I was talking about how the synthetics have salts in them, and that's partly how they cause damage because, you know, they wick away the moisture. And somebody tweeted me and said, don't forget, manures have salts in them too. That's true. If you're putting straight chicken manure down, well, you're going to have problems anyway. You got to compost that stuff or any kind of manure. Make sure it's well composted before you apply it, because you can use manures as well. Does that help you, Darius?
Yes, it did. I'll take your advice, and I'm looking forward to this fall to get things going.
All right. Well, and again, we're just so you know, if you're having problems, Darius, it's not your fault. This is a tough year for a lawn.
Right.
This is like every.
I water my grass, so the water wouldn't be a problem.
I have
water.
Have you kept your grass green, or is it kind of partly green? What's it look like?
Well, I cut it real low because I was going to let it grow, and then like even it off at about 3 or 4 inches. But because of the scarce rain and whatnot, it seems like the grass kind of like withered away.
Yeah, you got caught because you cut it low, and then we got hit with the drought,
right.
and it didn't get a chance to rebound. In hot weather and drought, you know, first of all, I'm telling people don't even cut your lawn right now. But unless you're watering it within an inch of its life and it's growing like crazy. But even if it is, cut it high. You want to cut it high so it helps preserve that moisture. So if it starts to grow back, let it grow back for a while, Darius.
Will do.
All right. Take care, buddy. Bye-bye. 773-763-9278 is our phone number. Let me do this, and then we'll come back. I want to talk about – I've still got Lori and Dave, and Dave always has great stuff to say. Lori – let's do Lori real quick because she's been hanging on for a while. Lori, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi. I have two fruit trees in my backyard. The one is half bare because of the drought. I have tomato plants growing on that side of the tree, which came out all by themselves from composting. The other half is full of green leaves. My apple tree is full of green leaves, but now is showing yellow leaves. Because I'm physically disabled, and I just can't keep up with the watering and watering. So do you have any help, like one of these young aspiring gardeners that could help me? I could pay them $5 an hour.
A strapping youth, eh? You need
I need some young people to help me out.
Where in Chicago are you?
The southwest, almost at Oak Lawn, which is like 87th and Cicero.
Yeah, you could write to the Master Gardeners and see if there's somebody who could help. I'll put the word out right now, and if anybody is in that area and wants to come by once a week to help Lori with her watering.
They may know somebody at the Chicago High School, which is on 111th.
Right.
They may have some type of summer program for their kids. Mm-hmm. To do, you know, gardening type work, like you have watering and so forth.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're willing to pay somebody, you know, the fact that unemployment is extremely high for teenagers.
Yeah.
That might be a source. But
But
call the Master Gardeners and they can put you in touch.
I'll tell you what, if you want, do you have a computer, Lori?
No.
Okay, what I will do is, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold, and you talk to Lady B, and she'll get your phone number, and we'll see what we can do to maybe help.
Okay, and I'm the girl that called you a long time ago wanting to go on a recycling tour, and because I don't have a computer, I'm trying to get all my friends together, a group of us, so we can sign our names to write you a... What is your email?
Email address is Mike at Mike Novak, MikeNowak .net.
Okay. Mike at
MikeNovak.net.
.net. Okay, I'll do that. and thanks so much.
My pleasure. I'm going to put you, oh boy, I'm going to just bring her down here, Lady B, and you pick up there on her, make sure I don't hang up on Lori, okay? All right, Lady B's got you covered. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I'm going to get to Dave in a second because he's always got something excellent to say. And I'm just looking at Twitter here and people saying, well, for one thing, Sarah Batka says, bring back Mayor's Landscape. You know what? We need to start a Twitter petition or just a movement here to bring back the mayor's awards. So how do we do that? Tweet me or Facebook me and let me know. I tell you what, I know that Kathleen will post something on Facebook, but we need a hashtag for Bring Back the Mayor Awards, and I'm not sure what it is. So let's get our folks on the case, and we will make it happen.
Summer has arrived, and for many gardeners, that means heat, drought, and watering bans. Help your landscapes thrive despite these seasonal challenges with proper care and Milorganite fertilizer. Hi, I'm gardening expert Melinda Myers. Mulch the soil with a layer of organic material to conserve moisture, reduce weeds, and improve the soil as it breaks down. Water plants thoroughly and less frequently whenever you irrigate the garden. This encourages deep roots, making your plants more drought tolerant and pest resistant. Water early in the day to reduce water loss to evaporation. And be sure to use Milorganite for all your summer fertilization needs. The organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn plants even during drought. Milorganite remains in the soil until the conditions are right for plant growth, including your lawn, so there's no need to water it in. Plus, the 4% non-staining iron promotes deep green growth. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com for a garden center near you. That's Milorganite.com.
Are your annuals and perennials looking a little tired right now? You know, it's okay to refresh them. Really, it is. And you live in the city, a great place to do it is at Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center. If you're looking for annuals, they have fresh petunias, vinca, celosia, coleus, pentas, lobelia, scabiola, cosmos, lantana, and more. Need a big pot of wave petunias, the ones that cascade down and make you look like a gardening guru? They have 8-inch pots ready for you to take home. Perennials? Ah, how about Echinacea, Tangerine Dream, Rudbeckia, Asters, Sultry Kiss, which is a reddish-pink hardy hibiscus. Rows of Sharons are exploding in purples, whites, and pinks. Dozens of their outdoor tropicals are half off, and select annuals in 4-inch pots are 99 cents. Go to ChristyWeber.com and click on Garden Center, or visit Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center on Facebook, or just stop by at 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian Village. Look for the explosion of color. Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center is a proud sponsor of Dig Ins Chicago, and they're also a proud sponsor of the Sheffield Garden Walk and Festival, and we love Christy Weber.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Can't figure out how to put the phone on hold. But what else is new? The Mike Novak Show in Chicago. Oh, you got it. Thanks, Mikey. The Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. They were listening to the Nadas. They are on Saturday at 4 p.m. at the Sheffield Garden Walk and Festival. I also want to tell you about something else that's going on today. The Dearborn Garden Walk is celebrating its 54th year. It's one of the events that's actually older than the Sheffield Garden Walk by 10 years. That's how I keep track. Whatever you guys are, they're 10 years older. Now, they have some music, but it's a little – it's they've got live jazz and classical performances. $35 because it's the day of the event, so you can't get them in advance anymore. And it's today from noon to 5. You enter – the entry is at the Latin Middle School at 45 West North Boulevard. And there's 20 beautiful gardens, usually in the back of the house, distinctive rear gardens. They have a narrated architectural walking tour of, the historic Dearborn Street. As I said, live jazz and classical performances and select gardens. And so if you want to get out to the Dearborn Walk, and it's wonderful. I've judged that one. I've judged the Sheffield Walk before. They're both, in terms of gardens, you know, everybody's garden is different. And it's wonderful to see the gardens in the Dearborn area because it's you know, like if on a scale of 1 to 10, if Sheffield is urban in like a 7, Dearborn's like an 8, you know, and a 9 would be a rooftop in the loop. I don't know what a 10 would be, Lori, but it's a great place. And then next week, there's a thing called the Garden Conservancy's Open Days Program. It's a series of private garden tours around. They do this around the country. It begins in the spring, runs through fall. Next week, there's gardens up in Lake Forest, and it costs you only $5 per person per garden to get in to the gardens. Children 12 and under are free. Camp Rosemary. These are the gardens: Camp Rosemary, Fairlawn, Gatehouse, Suzanne's Gardens. Those are the private ones. And then the garden at El Awa Farm is also open. That's not a private one, but it's also part of this tour. All the information is on my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show. I've got all the links, how you get there. Finally, the tour I was telling you about earlier, this one stinks, Southeast Environmental Task Force, they're doing their off-the-beaten-path eco tour. It's called the Down in the Dumps Bus Tour. It's a week from next Saturday, July 28th. I think that's right. That should be. It's 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., $40. The coach bus departs from the Chicago Cultural Center in downtown, and you get to see more than you bargained for. Repurposed dumps that produce energy as well as natural areas that border them. It's amazing how these two come together. You mean live not quite in harmony? You know, they're just there because people have dumped stuff on the south side for so long. That's why we are opposing the Leucadia coal gasification plant on the south side. I've got the number to Pat Quinn. Veto SB 3766. Call the governor today. 312-814-2121. Again, all this information is on my website, too. So join the Southeast Environmental Task Force and help out there. Now, I promised that I would get to Dave because, like I said, he's always interesting and controversial. Not necessarily controversial, but he's always interesting. Dave from Madison, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Oh, it won't be controversial, Mike. Except that I think Rahm is making a big mistake with that garden award. Hey, you know, I'll tell you, there's a lot of things going on out here in agriculture. One thing you may not know is I'm the emergency management coordinator for the state Department of Ag here in Wisconsin.
No, I did not know that. Wow.
Yep. And we are really gearing up to assist farmers. In the short time here, all I would mention is folks should use their extension officers and their county soil conservation service officers. There's enormous amount of information out there right now. Wisconsin Extension has the Drought 2012 website. I really recommend people go to that. There's enormous amount of information from experts on how to adapt, how to deal with this.
What's the website, Dave?
You know, I don't have that in front of me. What I would do is just Google Drought 2012 UW Extension. It'll take you right there. It'll be your first hit, and it's worth getting to.
Okay. Drought 20. I'm going to do that right away. And what is it? So do you go out and do tours yourself to see what's going on out there?
Well, I work with industry. I work with local agricultural producers, processors. We work with basically everybody to try to ensure the safety and the continuity of the food supply and the agricultural industry. And operations. And so it involves everything. In this case, the drought is the big issue. Back in 88, when I was down in Champaign, you know, we saw wells going dry. And when you have livestock to water, that's an extremely precarious situation to be in. And so we look at those sort of things. And right now, you know, there's an ecological thing certain folks can do, particularly producers, and that's there's a lot of wetlands with reed canary grass in them that have just taken over. Those are dried wetlands. In some cases, it might be worth entering those and haying them if possible. Cut that reed canary grass down. The sedges will do fine. Those seeds will last for a long time. And you'll have some forage, and we may set that invasive back.
All right. I got to let you go, Dave, but I found the extension site. It's fyi.uwex.edu/drought2012. And I'll get that up on my Facebook page. Dave, always a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, Mike.
Have a great day. Lori Lewis, thank you for being here. Man,
Thank you, Mike.
We covered a lot of stuff today.
Yes, we did.
Didn't we?
We never have enough time.
We never do, and we never get to talk. Give me two plants you love in your yard this year.
Heucherella sweet tea.
Sweet tea?
Sweet tea.
What color is that?
That's a orange and reds and yellows in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's for a shade, and I also like, berry smoothie, which is a heuchera, which is a sharp, almost reddish chartreuse. But both of those plants do pretty well as far as surviving our winters.
That's cool.
The drought.
All right. Go to the Sheffield Garden Walk next Saturday and Sunday. Don't worry. It's not going to be too hot. Lori's going to be there. He'll give you a cold drink. And until next week, go green or go home.